doesn't matter if we do things backwards. There's nothing backwards about that. I thought, you know what? I don't want to wait till the invitation. When I hear that voice that says, pray now, then I go with it. Yep. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for that moment in time of prayer. Now open our eyes and our ears, our minds, our hearts to the printout, the Holy Scripture. As we continue talking about the beginning of things, talking about spiritual warfare, the unseen world, fallen angels who are now demons, who were very operative in the lives of people all over the world, especially in our governments all over the world. I pray that you will continue to give us the understanding that is needed to understand there are hostile forces, supernatural forces, forces that are evil in energy and influence that we cannot see. But we know they exist. Please remind us again, we are in a spiritual battle called spiritual warfare. Like it or not, we're in it. We need to learn how to pray and pray more. Pray with unbelief. There's no room for unbelief. And trust God. For He is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. No doubt in that. I pray that you'll give us the understanding and you'll connect the dots here on this printout. I know it gets a little deep, but we can learn and continue to learn, and we'll be the better for it. We'll be better equipped as your children as we fight evil forces in our homes, in our churches, in the workplace, in the government. Everywhere in the world. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us your word, the word of the living God. We need it in every scene of life that we find ourselves in that God has allowed to happen. And in every scene of life, you tell us there is something that we need to learn more about ourselves and more about you. Let that be so. In the message this morning, we ask this to the glory of God and to our maturing in Christ likeness. Amen and amen. You'll notice the title is Beginnings. Beginnings. Let's begin with the introduction. Remember after Babel. Would you write the Tower of Babel somewhere on your paper? Because I want you to remember several things in reference to the Tower of Babel when it is mentioned later in your lives. The Tower of Babel speaks of confusion. Confusion that was brought about by God Himself upon a people who had chosen to leave God out of their lives. When you think of the Tower of Babel, you think of the abode of the gods. That is little G-O-D-S. These little gods are actually fallen angels, and these fallen angels are demons. When you think of the Tower of Babel, you think of an artificial mount of assembly. An artificial mount of assembly. You should be able to connect the dots there. Remember, after Babel, the nations of the world were divided geographically and spiritually according to the number of the sons of God. The concept of territorial spirits is biblical, although it's not often mentioned in Sunday morning services. The most obvious examples in a previously cited passage from the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 10, verse 5, then verses 12 through 13, and verses 20 through 21. They are all here printed on paper for you. Notice we begin with the word I. Underline the word I and write only Daniel. Now Daniel is surrounded by friends. They do not understand what is taking place at the moment, so they run as fast as they can run, and they hide and they leave Daniel behind. So only Daniel saw this vision. He says, I raised my eyes and looked. He has been in a posture of prayer. He's been praying for a long time, and now God is going to tell him through an angel why his answer has been delayed. I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, underline the word behold. Behold means let God have your full attention regarding what follows. I raised my eyes, Daniel says, and looked, and behold, there was a certain man. Underline the word certain. The word certain means one man. So Daniel, in the vision that he is being given by Almighty God, sees a man. It is one man dressed in linen, whose loins were girded with a belt of pure. Underline the word pure. It refers to transparent gold. The transparent gold of Ufaz. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day, underline those two words, first day, and here's something you might want to jot down in connection to the words first day. God hears our prayers immediately, even when we do not experience an immediate answer. I'll repeat that. God hears our prayers immediately, even when we do not experience an immediate answer. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart, underline that phrase, set your heart, it means that you made up your mind on understanding this and on humbling. Underline the word humbling. Here Daniel admits his desperate dependence on God for everything necessary for life and godliness. This will take you to Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The word poor in spirit in the Greek language means blessed are those who are 100% dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart, that you made up your mind on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, underline the word God. Who is God here? To Daniel, he's the creator. He's the provider. He's the sustainer and owner of all that exists, the whole universe. Humbling yourself before your God, your words, underline the word words, and in the margin write the word prayers, because we're talking about prayers that Daniel has been praying to his living God. Your words or your prayers were heard, and I have come in response to your words. Underline that word words again and write again the word prayers. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, underline that phrase, the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Number one, this is present day Iran. And when you talk about the prince of the kingdom of Persia, you're talking about a fallen angel. By now you know that fallen angels are demons, and they are supernatural in intelligence and supernatural in force. Was standing in opposition to me for 21 days. Underline those words, 21 days. That lets you know, number one, there's a heavenly conflict that has been brewing in heaven. Then here's the point of that. Delay does not mean denial. Delay does not mean denial. Then he says, then behold Michael, underline Michael, He is an angel. You would say he is a good angel of God. He is a warring angel, a warring. When it comes to fighting the celestial battles, then here comes Michael. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief of the celestial princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Underline that phrase, the kings of Persia, which refers to unseen spiritual forces and their influence. Then he said, "Do you understand fully why I came to you? Now I shall return to fight against the hostile prince of Persia. And when I have gone, behold, the prince of Greece is about to come." Now, go back up to the prince of Persia for just a moment. This is very interesting. In fact, I'm going to begin at that paragraph. Then he said, "Do you understand fully why I came to you? Now I shall return to fight against the hostile prince of Persia." Now when he returns to fight this hostile prince of Persia, how long is this fighting going to last? You don't want to miss this. For 200 more years until the Persians were defeated by Alexander the Great. So he says, when I return, it's going to be more than a 21-day conflict. I am returning for a 200-year conflict. That blows my mind right there, all right? But listen to what he says. He talks about the prince of Greece. Well, underline the prince of Greece. Let's define him. The prince of Greece, number one, a fallen angel. Since he is a fallen angel, number two, he is an evil angel. He is supernatural, once again, in his intelligence and power. Again, he is a demon. He is Satan's representative, listen to this, assigned here to oppose godly forces. I'm going to repeat that. He is Satan's representative assigned to oppose godly forces. Do you think that a demon can be assigned to your house and create chaos and disorder? How would you answer that? The answer is yes. Can a demon be assigned to Haynesville Baptist Church to create chaos and disorder? How would you answer that? Can a demon be assigned to the government of the United States of America to create disorder and chaos? Yes, it's doing a real good job, and Joe Biden feeds on this every morning when he gets up. And now the Democrats have gotten so stupid and so ignorant in what they are doing, they're trying to take away your privileges and your freedom, and now they're coming for your guns. We are not going to be like Germany. Hitler did the same thing. He came for the guns, and then he got the control of the people. May that not happen in the United States of America. It is a privilege to own a gun and to have a Bible to go right along with it. So I say to those in Washington, we are going to go by the word of the living God and the Constitution of the United States of America. And we have the right to bear arms. So get the hell out of the way and let us do what we are born to do and exercise our God-given rights. Amen. Thank you. Janae, you okay? Okay. Here we go. Then he said, "Do you understand fully why I came to you? Now I shall return to fight against the hostile prince of Persia. And when I have gone," listen to this, "behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. But I, Gabriel, will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth." Underline the word truth. This is truth concerning the future of Israel. I say to America, don't war with Israel. Back Israel in everything she is. for backing her is God Almighty. And I assure you, you want to be on His side when it comes to Israel. All right? Because when you jump on Israel, you are jumping on God Himself. So back off. Here we go. But I, Gabriel, will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. There is no one who stands firmly with me and strengthens himself against these hostile spirit forces except Michael, that warring angel, your prince, the guardian of your nation. Underline the word nation. You should know it is a nation referring to Israel once again. All right. Now, we have some questions. Number one, who was the man Daniel saw? Don't answer that now. You may get in trouble. All right. Number two, who is the prince of Persia? We'll answer that one. Number three, would Jesus need help dealing with another spirit being? The answer is no. Would Jesus need help in dealing with anything or anybody? The answer is no. All right, look at number three. Look at A. Who did Daniel see? He saw an angel. Some are going to tell you that he saw Jesus Christ. Brother, add up the numbers, connect the dots. I think you'll see differently. B, was the prince of Persia a spirit being? The answer is yes. We know this because a human opponent wouldn't have been able to hold him at all, much less for 3 weeks. All right, question number one. Who was the prince of Persia? Could it be one of the 70, here we go, Bene Elohim, who were allotted to the nations? Go to page 2, top of the page. Now, how do we know there were 70? The nations are named in Genesis 10. Now, it may be that you have a table of nations in your Bible. Some will, some won't. If it doesn't, you can look it up when you get home. So the nations are named in a lot of Bibles, not all of them, in Genesis 10, the table of nations. Now get this. How many nations are listed in Genesis chapter 10? 70. 70. Now go back to the information on Mount Hermon if you need to look this up. How many sons of El, E-L, gathered in the assembly on Mount Hermon? How many? 70. Is this a coincidence? No, it is not. The 70 B'nai Elohim apparently presented themselves to the ancient world as their gods. Little G-O-D-S. The aftermath of Babel is where the concepts of holy ground and national gods begin. So what's the beginning of national gods? Here's where it all begins right here. Are we not in the book of Genesis, in the book of beginnings? So we have the beginnings of national gods. We're going to look at them. Here we go. The aftermath of Babel is where the concepts of holy ground and national gods began. Here's the examples. It was Dagon for the Philistines. Now, you're familiar with Dagon. You should be. All right? Then it was Chemosh from Moab. You've heard that name. Moloch for Ammon. Marduk for Babylon. Baal for the Canaanites, and so on. All of you have read these names in the Bible. It's not Greek mythology. Question number one. How did the rebellion work out for these 70 sons of God? Because the B'nai Elohim rebelled and began accepting worship. What was it Satan wanted really bad that got him in trouble? I want to be above God. I want to be worshiped. Well, we see there were a lot of angels around, no doubt, hearing this and watching this. We call them the watchers, if I am correct in that statement right there. And they did a very good job at it. Now, the gods are under a death sentence. Little G-O-D-S, fallen angels, now demons. And a day is coming when God inherits all the nations.
All right, that's in Psalm 82. You can read that at home. Question number one, where did giants come from? Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Now it happened when men began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them that the sons of God, underline that phrase, sons of God, because there are some that adopt the Sethite theory. I do not. When you go back and look at the Hebrew and you look at the books of Enoch, 1st Enoch, 2nd Enoch, and 3rd Enoch, they are known by biblical writers. They are used in places in the Word of the Living God. Now, Augustine chose to brush all of this aside and not believe what the original Hebrew was saying, and so did so many of the Catholics. All right, here we go. Now, it happened when men began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them that the sons of God, very important phrase, saw that the daughters of men were beautiful and desirable. Get your pen ready to write. And they took wives. The word took in the Hebrew means they raped these women. They raped these women. That is the Hebrew writing of it. They took these wives, they took these women, and they raped them for themselves, whomever they chose and desired. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive and remain with man forever, because he is indeed flesh, sinful, corrupt, given over to sensual appetites. Nevertheless, his days shall yet be 120 years. Underline 120 years. And what in the world does that refer to? Well, I've had some tell me that man is going to live for 120 years and then he's going to die. Well, look at it a little more. It means in 120 years, the judgment's coming. Go back and look at it. In 120 years, he said, the judgment of water, the flood, is coming. How long did Noah preach? Was it 120 years? There were Nephilim. I do not go with this, but I'm reading it for you. There were Nephilim, men of stature, notorious men on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God, it does not refer to mortal man, lived with the daughters of men, and they gave birth to their children. These were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown, great reputation, and fame. Look at the word Nephilim. If you can look it up in the Hebrew, please do that. This word Nephilim does not mean, in parentheses, those who fall away. That would be what? Nephilim. Now look at the phrase, the sons of God. Look at number one under that phrase, sons of God. Sons of God in this passage are B'nai Elohim, which refers to divine beings, not mortal men. Brother, the angel saw the daughters of men. They came from their celestial abode. And when they came down, they took all the women they wanted and they raped them. And then they had children. These are hybrids. These are angels / mortal. Number two, problems with the supernatural understanding of the text usually focus on whether angels and humans could successfully produce children. Top of page 3. Now, I've had this thrown at me many times in about 40 years. Many often point to Jesus teaching on the resurrection of the dead. Oh, say, Terry, I got you there. Really? Matthew 22:30. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Question, what are the key words here? in the resurrection and in heaven. Noah's neighbors were mortal, flesh and blood humans, not yet resurrected. And the angels who came in to the daughters of man were most definitely not in heaven. Both Peter and Jude refer to the only example in Scripture where angels transgressed. Let's read it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if, underline the word if, it is a first class condition. And it means what follows or what you're about to read is true. For if God did not even spare, underline the word spare, it means the doom of angels is certain. When an angel, a fallen angel, a demon sins, there is no forgiveness. It is non-negotiable. For if God did not even spare angels, the fallen angels that sinned. So what's the sin of these fallen angels? But threw them into hell. Underline the word hell. The word hell in the Greek here is Tartarus. It is Tartarus. Tartarus in the Greek dictionary is a place of punishment for fallen angels. You know what that tells me? They do exist. Fallen angels are real. Fallen angels are also demons. For if God did not even spare angels, the fallen angels that sinned, but threw them into Tartarus, a place of punishment for fallen angels, and sent them to pits of gloom to be kept there for judgment. Jude 6, 7. And the angels, underline the word angels, and the angels who worshiped God and later rebelled against Him. Now you put this in your pipe, smoke it. Angels are created beings. They were not created to automatically worship God. They were appointed a certain abode, designated a specific place in the beginning of their creation. Isn't it amazing to try and figure out how angels created by the living God, their point of origin, a celestial home, and how beautiful that celestial home must be, the environment of it, to be in the presence of Almighty God and Jesus Christ and worship them, then turn around and turn their back on God and Jesus Christ and join Satan and become a fallen angel, which is further defined as a demon. Do you find it hard to understand how you could be in the very presence of God and then say, this is not good enough? I'm going to follow Satan, a created being. I'm not going to stay with God, who has no beginning and has no point of origin, who has always existed, who treats me, I don't have the words for it, who treats me in an awesome way, a fantastic way, a beautiful way. And up here, there's so much joy and praise and thanksgiving. And yet, they turned their back on Him. And on that environment, not all the angels, but many of them did. And somebody says, man, they must have been crazy. How many people, human beings, today on the face of the earth have heard the gospel of Christ? You've heard about the grace of Almighty God.
His compassion and His mercy, and yet you, like the angels, turn your back on something as wonderful, saving, and as good and powerful as that for something that isn't worth a dang. So don't be too hard on the angels, because human beings are doing it right and left.
Jude 6 and 7. And the angels who worshiped God and later rebelled against God, who did not keep their own designated place of power, underline that phrase, designated place of power. Actually, the phrase means arche, A-R-C-H-E in the Greek language. Arche means the beginning or origin of something. 5 points here. Number one, these angels left their heavenly domain and went to earth. Number two, this act was a willful rejection of God's will and authority. Number three, some angels are imprisoned now so as to control their evil activities. Wait till next Sunday morning. It'll blow your mind of the evil that actually was performed. All conscious creation is responsible for the gift of life. My goodness, angels too? Were not angels created with a gift of existence? Would you call that the gift of life? Do angels have life in heaven? Has God given them life so they can exist and carry out their functions? So if He has given them life, then they are responsible for their decisions. Did angels have an old sin nature? No. Angels don't have an old sin nature. They're created by a holy God. Well, what made the angels do this ignorant thing? Why would they make a decision to turn their back upon God and follow the devil, Lucifer? My friends, there's that what? Energy of evil influence. And even when God created the angels, He didn't say, I'm going to make you exempt from evil. Lucifer. Evil. So where did the evil come from? Let me tell you something, and I'll say it again. I don't know every creature that exists under the ocean. But there's way more creatures than I know about. And there's way more evil influence and energy in this universe than I know about. Back to your printout. Number five, the flood was God's judgment on the mixed races of the human / angelic hybrid sexual relationship of Genesis 6, 1 through 4. Very quickly. And the angels who did not keep their own designated place, God designated them a place of power, but abandoned their proper dwelling place, He has kept in eternal chains, imprisonment, under the thick gloom of utter darkness for the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the adjacent cities, since they, in the same way as these angels, indulged in gross immoral freedom. Underline gross immoral freedom. It means horrible immorality of all kinds. And unnatural vice and sensual perversity. Romans chapter 1. They are exhibited in plain sight as an example in undergoing the punishment of everlasting fire. Then point one. If there was any doubt about what the angels did after they descended, what sin they committed, that such deserved punishment, then Peter and Jude clarified things by specifically identifying the sin of the angels. And what was it? It was sexual. By linking it to the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, crossing the species barrier between angel and human, a hybrid, is just as taboo as transgressing the one between human and animal. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you do not soft-pedal your word. That you give it straightforward to let us know the hideousness and the horror and the danger that opposes the forces of God. Yeah, it's a battle. But don't you ever doubt who the winner is. In fact, the battle's already been won on the cross and the resurrection. But Satan is just stupid enough not to understand that. So he's going to battle you, and he's going to battle me, and he's going to battle this church. He's going to battle the government. He's going to battle every human being that will ever be born until he is judged and thrown into the lake of fire. But I want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us the truth about all of this stuff, so we will acknowledge it, equip ourselves, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Because when Satan comes, he hits hard. But the word of God spoken and prayers prayed are enough to back him off for a little while. But he'll come back again. And he may come back with recruits stronger. So I pray, Lord, truly teach us how to pray, that our prayers will be effective. And thank you for hearing our prayers. And thank you for the angels that battle where we cannot go, battling for us, saying, keep praying. God heard it. The answer's on its way. Thank you for that blessed assurance. It gives us the encouragement that we need and the boldness that we need to be what we should for you and to live a life of godliness. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for letting us love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.